Hello, it's Richard Herring here. Welcome to my podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. And my stand-up tour is about to begin. Can I have my ball back? First stand-up tour in 6 years. Many of you just know me from the podcast. Don't know, I've done 14 or 15 stand-up tours in my own right. I'm a brilliant stand-up comedian, and can I have my ball back? I think it's my best show ever. That's what the audiences are saying. It's about testicular cancer, but it's funny because testicles are funny even though cancer isn't. I'm really pleased with it. I'd love you to come and see it. Bring your friends. Some of the shows selling really well, some of them selling really badly. It's a traditional Richard Herring tour. But here's where I'm going to be. 2nd of May, Thursday at the Luton Hat Factory. It's a small venue, but there are still tickets left. 3rd of May, I'm at the Bury Hedge End, which is near Southampton. That's looking more full, but still some availability. 8th of May, I'm at the Leicester Square Theatre. There's about 10 tickets left for that one, though I am back at the Leicester Square Theatre in June. And then I'm at St Albans on the 9th, Gloucester on the 10th, Chorley Little Theatre on the 11th. That's sold out, but you can join the waiting list. And then the 12th of May, I'm at Glasgow. Afternoon show sold out. Evening show, extra show, put on, still with tickets. And then there's lots more. Go to richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs. And now, enjoy whatever podcast I've given you. It's free. It's all for you. If you want to pay me back, buy a book, come and see a show. That's all I've got to say to you. Love you.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi there, it's me, Rich Herring here. It's late at night and my family are asleep, so I'm being slightly quiet. Welcome to another Leicester Square Theatre podcast. Two guests in this one. We've got Ian Sterling, and we have Jason Manford, who was meant to be on first. And there's a little bit of jeopardy about whether he would show up, but he did show up. It's lots of fun. I hope you enjoy it. And we have decided to do an extra podcast recording on Friday the 25th of August, back at the Newtown Theatre. This one's at 3:40 p.m. in the afternoon. I'll put a link to the tickets in the description. It's because it's not going to be any programs or anything. You know, we're hoping to sell, we might sell 100 or so tickets. A few have gone, but if you are around and you would like to support the podcast, why not come on down and see the final Richard Herring's Edinburgh Fringe podcast of 2017 being recorded? Don't have guests yet, but I'm aiming to try and get someone pretty cool or a couple of people who are pretty cool. Yeah, do check out my website, richardherring.com. Check out gofasterstrike.com. Lots of the episodes of As It Occurs to Me are going up for people who've done the Kickstarter and who have also, if you've bought the subscription, but also monthly badges are getting the long episodes as well. If you go to www.gofasterstrike.com/aartima, you can buy a subscription to that channel. But the slightly shorter, sort of 20-minute each shorter episodes should be going up pretty soon. We're just trying to get them all graded and get the sound right on them and all that sort of thing. If you want to come and see me do my stand-up, I'm doing my show Ophelia on 50 until the 26th of August at Pleasance One. Again, there'll be a link in the description. It's selling pretty well, but I think there'll be tickets for most of the days from the 20th to the 26th. Okay, thanks for listening. Do come down and support us at the podcast if you can next Friday. If not, just sit back and enjoy Rich Tang's Edinburgh Fringe podcast.
I don't know why they keep on employing that guy. He's terrible. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Newtown Theatre. Please welcome a man who woke up this morning with a very painful eye and he doesn't know why. It's Richard Herring! Oh, yeah! Hello! Hello, Edinburgh. How are you doing? Oops. Thank you very much for coming along. Welcome to the show. Welcome, our Colin. Wondered where you'd been. Welcome to Richard Herring's Edinburgh Fringe podcast. I was down at the Gravity Trampoline Parks. It's just by the casino, you know, there's a Pizza Express. There's a Frankie and Benny's nearby. Don't go there, it's horrible. You have to put on special socks to go trampolining. They call it ref, so I don't know if that's going to catch on. We've got hopefully two guests today. One of them hasn't shown up. Radio Times comedy champion, my ass. He's just taunting me, saying, oh, yeah, I'll come do your podcast. No, I won't. Just not going to show up. But we've got a fantastic lineup, even if he doesn't show. How many days in now are we? About 100 days into the Edinburgh Fringe. I'm extremely tired. I can't take it anymore. Today is the day that I always think of Andrew Collings, because, of course, it's the day they print the photos of the jumping A-level girls on the... on the front of all the newspapers. Think of Andrew Collins getting angry and aroused at the same time. There was one on... They did, because obviously they had them live yesterday on the BBC, and there was mainly boys on the one the BBC put on there, which, you know, I can't masturbate to that, can I? It was an effort. Pull your finger out, BBC, is what I say. So the stuff that's been going... I haven't been to see many shows. I went to see the amazing Bubble Man, who does big bubbles. Have you seen it? Yeah, you should go. I mean, it's for kids, really. You'd look a bit weird if you turn up on your own. That wouldn't stop you, will it, Colin? I'm glad to see you back, Colin. Have you been to the other shows? Have I just not seen you? You're further back. You've got to sit at the front, Colin. Come on. You're losing the edge. I need you at the front like a spectre at the feast. I'm just wondering, is he real? Is he really there? It's nice to see you, Colin. I was worried. To be frank, I was worried you died in there. So it's nice to know you're still alive. One day there'll just be an empty seat there and your actual ghost will be there. It's Colin from the Edinburgh Fringe podcast. I live near... I pass a hairdresser's on my way to the Pleasance Theatre, where I'm on every night doing Oh Frig, I'm 50. Come and see it. Still tickets available for most performances. There's a hairdresser's and there's a sign in the window saying chair for rent. And I wondered if I could just rent that, even though I'm not a hairdresser. Just go in. I just wonder what they would do if you're going, can I rent the chair? And they go, yeah, sure. And then just go, yeah, I'm just going to sit in it, mate. It's not, I like it here. I like the smell of all the hair cleaning products. It's nice. I'm going to give it a go. Just someone try that for me, come please. I had a moment of mortification when the show before me has been overrunning a little bit, often not due to their own fault, but sometimes. But then they got back on time. And then I went the next day. I was a bit tired. And the time had come for me to go and get ready to go on stage. And I kind of walked backstage. It was a bit darker than usual. I wasn't really concentrating. And then I kind of got round, pulled back the curtain and realised the show was still going on. And I was sort of standing in the wings but visible to a proportion of the audience and one of the actors. That's like the worst thing. It was just mortifying as a performer. That you sort of have nightmares about that sort of thing. But luckily, it's Derivo, who's a sort of Russian clown. He's an old man, and he works very hard. Every time I see him, he's just in the stairs, and he's just exhausted after the show, and he just puts his thumbs up to me, and that's all he'll do. But he won't speak to me now. I've ruined his show. But I was wearing black and white, which was very much in theme of that. I think that's maybe all I've got for you. What does that say? Oh, yeah, that's something. But right, so we're going to crack on. We might have an hour-long interview with our first guest, or we might have half an hour. Who knows? That's the wonder of the Edinburgh Fringe podcast. He is probably best known from his TV performance on Help, My Supply Teacher Is Still Magic. That's why we're all here. That's why his show is selling out every night. Because people loved him in that. Will you please welcome Ian Sterling, ladies and gentlemen? There he is. Come and sit down here, Ian. Nice to see you, man. Sit down.
Hi.
Welcome.
Hi there.
Welcome. How are you doing? You can take that out of there if you like, or leave it in, whatever you prefer.
I can't get it.
You can't get it out.
I've done it.
Yeah, well done.
Still got it. Still magic.
Still have got it. I did the Craig Ferguson show yesterday. He's a proper interviewer. He's had a big show in America and then come back and he's doing a podcast and a radio show now. And they've got all like special microphones. He has a desk and stuff. Fucker. Not just giving you a mic to hold in your hands like that.
This is fine.
That's all good.
I feel
so
good.
Tell me a bit about Help, My Supply Teacher Is Still Magic. That is
well,
what I've made.
I mean, second series.
Yeah.
I presented it.
Yeah.
The first series was called Help, My Supply Teacher's Magic.
Yeah.
Second series,
yeah.
Help, My Supply Teacher's Still Magic.
I didn't like the first series as much.
Well,
as
no one did. But the thing is, what I like about it is for Still Magic, they spent a fortune on prosthetics to cover up the magicians,
right.
So the children wouldn't recognise them from the first series.
Right.
The kids did not recognise them. So the reveal of them taking off the prosthetics was just children going, cool, but why has that man been wearing a beard? They go, it's me! And they'd be like, what are you talking about? And yeah, it won a children's BAFTA.
Yeah, I saw you'd won a BAFTA.
I mean, I was not invited to the ceremony.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they said they thought someone else had invited me.
Oh.
But, yeah.
So but didn't you win one on your own as well as best children's presenter?
Yeah, I mean, it is a kids' BAFTA.
Yeah, I don't care. It's
yeah, we leave that off all the marketing. BAFTA winner. You get the proper statue, the guy with the eye.
Yeah.
So it's like legit.
It's not like the one, because they have like a viewer's vote on the BAFTA now, and then you get a different, BAFTA made out of chocolate.
No,
basically.
You get a bit of plastic and like an 8-year-old gives you it. Fuck that. I got mine off Gordon Ramsay, and then they said, can Gordon get photos with me? And he said, oh, I'm with my family. So I just went back into the audience.
Yeah.
So just me on my own. But it was good. I'm excited you went to see Bubble Man.
Yeah.
I saw him. I done a thing for Blue Peter years ago.
Oh yeah.
Is he still quite? Can you tell he's broken inside?
Yeah. I mean, it's sort of. Well, everything was. I didn't know to what extent it was deliberate, but everything was going wrong for him, right? And I don't think it was deliberate. His mic wasn't working. Every time he bent down, his mic went.
That was just his soul cracking.
And he kicked over a whole thing of bubbles, right? And you thought, is this, something pretty magic's going to happen now? And you said, oh, can we get Megan with the tarp? And then he disappeared backstage. Put a tarp. He's amazing. He is literally amazing.
He's phenomenal.
Yeah.
And it's basically, there's two types of children's show, isn't there? There's one where the parents are sort of, I mean, parents and them will know this. There's two shows where you do the Fringe and you're doing a kid's show. There's one that the adults are into and it becomes a sort of family experience and you all sit together. And there's the ones where the parents are clearly hungover and they go, annoy that man and not me for the next hour. And he thinks it's a proper art form. And he's great at it. There was one point he was doing this one. It was like a spaceship. And he was putting smoke in it. And this, like, six-year-old girl, she had, like, it's like a sitcom, pigtails, came running towards him. And he just went, you're ruining it! You're ruining it! Kids like, where is this child's mother? Like, I want to touch the bubbles, mummy. He was saying fuck off with his eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
It was so impressive.
And I think he was enjoying it more than that this time. But everything, even like every time he tried to do something, it would pop. I mean, this is if you work with bubbles.
I mean,
bubble mixture. That is the problem. It pops, doesn't it? That is the basic mistake you made
with
there.
With bubbles or children. He's combined both.
But I enjoyed it. I've seen some disappointing children's shows,
just,
and that's pretty much all I've seen. One was good. That one was enjoyable.
I done a Kids Cayley one year.
Oh, did you?
Oh my day, at the Spiegel tent, this company, they were so lovely as well. They lost so much money, man. Like, honestly, you'd be like, fuck, those guys lost a lot of money. The Spiegel tent sits about 300 people, and we had this Cayley on at 11 o'clock, and we had rehearsals, and I was presenting with, again, there's two types of kids TV presenters as well. There's someone like me that sort of like you can tell they don't want to be there, and I think the parents like that. And there's ones that look like they had like their genitals removed at about the age of six. They're just the most innocent, lovely people you've ever met in your entire life. So I'm with her. She would never drink, and I didn't trust her. And we had to present this, and we had like a full Kaylee band, and there's like a big kabuki drop, and we were meant to be like two clans, and it's about this war, but the war was done through Kaylee dancing. But for that to work, you need hundreds of people.
Yeah.
I think the most tickets we ever sold was 12. And the problem with kids show is like you've got one kid to like three or four to two parents, so there's about three kids. So instead of like, hey, clan A and clan B, it was like, hey, Johnny, do you want to stand there? And they made me wear, it was horrible. Yeah. So kids shows are pretty grim.
Well, I'm quite obsessed. You worked on the more adult children. I can't think of what
the more adult children.
The more adult children version. I watch CBeebies. You were on CBeebies.
Yeah, right? I've got lots of friends that are children presenters and fans of yours.
Yeah.
And in your new show, do you talk in depth about wanting to have sex with a CBeebies presenter?
Yeah, I do, yeah. And puppets.
Yeah.
Not just the presenters.
Yeah, it's been reported back to me. you are the word on the street. I'm not even joking. And again, like I said, some of the kids' presenters are so innocent. They're like, oh, have you heard what Richard's been saying? I think he's joking. No, honestly, I'm quite concerned. We've withdrawn his offer to do bedtime stories.
Yeah. Well, but I wrote about that in the Metro, and then they invited me. I mean, this is what I do in the show, is I talk about when I went to the Furchester Hotel, which many of you all know about already, I think. But I wrote about fancying Funella from the Furchester Hotel, who's a puppet, as a Muppet, and wanting to have sex with her.
It's a man's hat. The man's hand's Mark, if that helps you at all. It's Mark's hand.
Right. But they invited me to the studio. You know what kind of that? I basically wrote in the paper I want to have a threesome with the puppet and the people who the puppeteer and myself. And then they said, "Yeah, come up to the studio, bring your kids." And you'd think after all the BBC had been through.
Yeah, I mean, famously they're not the best at picking their personnel.
But it was a lot of fun. But I like Rebecca from. It's only Rebecca I like from CBeebies.
How graphic, because the way they talk about it, it sounds like you're doing horrific things.
I'm not at all. I just say that I became a bit too attached to Rebecca from Let's Play. Because I found... Well, A, I'll just say Let's Play. You know, she knows what she's doing. She knows what she's doing. She dresses up in different costumes every week. She's all playing it all innocent.
Primary colours, the tease.
She knows what she's doing. And I genuinely... This is a joke in the show, but it's true. I realised my obsession with Rebecca was getting a bit far when I found myself watching an episode of Let's Play on BBC iPlayer on my own.
I think that's the bit that gets reported back.
It's the one where she's a tennis player, and I highly recommend it. But then I backed off. When I went to CBeebies,
I thought my friends were doing being too children's presenter about it, but see when you actually hear it live, it is grim. What was she doing as a tennis player?
She's just, because she's in Let's Play, she dressed up as different characters, and it's a very unrealistic plot. She's never played tennis before.
All pornos are.
And it's very like that. She's never played tennis, and then she goes to take on Sid. He's all right, but I don't fancy him.
He weighs his food out.
Does he? He's like 70 years old, Sid.
Yeah, he's so ripped. Weighs his food. We were on a night out, and he left the night out to get his food scales to come back again. We're in London. He lives in Brighton. I'm not making that up.
He's a good looking man, and he's
handsome.
He's an older man. And
so she's taken him on. She's done the serve.
Yeah, she's done that. So he was the world champion, and she was just coming in. She didn't really know the rules of tennis. Managed to beat the world champion of tennis. And the court wasn't right. It was just drawn on the. It was a cartoon drawn on the floor. It was ridiculous, but it's still a good show for other reasons. The Furchester Hotel people liked the fact that I fancied them. They were overexcited, I would say. I was a bit worried it was actually going to happen when I got there.
I don't think puppeteers get the sort of sex symbol status that they want.
No.
They're just essentially doing a reach around all day.
It's a furry reach around, which is the best.
A furry reach around. Do you think I'll get another series of Help My Supply Teacher Still Magic?
I don't think you will. I don't think you will. I think you may have burnt those bridges already. So how was Hacker the Dog? Because he tweeted me the other day, Hacker the Dog.
We used to tweet you.
Yeah.
Ian and Hacker, we used to tweet you because you used to, again, no, at the time I assumed you had children. Because this is years ago. You used to tweet saying you're watching CBBC, and I used to do the broom cupboard with a talking dog called Hacker the Dog. So we'd tweet you, and we'd put your stand-up at the start. So it'd be me going, so I'd be eating yogurt. And the dog would go, somebody likes yogurt. And we'd go, anyway, here's Tracy Beaker. So like, it makes no sense. And you'd never reply. So yeah, he's obsessed.
No,
plays Hacker's obsessed with you. Yeah. But Hacker's like, he's very funny. Have you seen it? People always ask me about him to this day. I'm sort of like the Robbie from EastEnders of children's television. Wellard stayed and I got sacked.
Yeah, it's good. He's no Fenella. I don't want to have sex with Hacker. I'm not sick. You were born in 1988.
Yeah, you done a gig with Craig Ferguson in
1988. I did. That's what I did. And you were born 6 months after I first appeared at the Edinburgh Fringe. Just makes me feel sad. But I was trying to work out, you know, actually I came to Edinburgh 7 months before you were born. Were you born prematurely? Because I could be your dad. That's what I'm saying. If I'd had sex in 1987, which I didn't. But Stuart Lee masturbated me with the ventriloquist dummy. And if he collected the sperm that came out and then put that in your mother's vagina canal...
It would explain mine and my mother's puppet fetish.
Well, it explains my puppet fetish, I think, doesn't it? That's where that began. But it's incredible that, you're so young. You're a very young man.
But have you done, like, student gigs? They're so young.
Yeah, well, like, you do start... Because you're approaching 30, aren't you? So there are, obviously...
Oh,
you do
shit,
start to
I'm
feel,
30. That's the show next year.
It starts feeling weird when you're sort of in your mid-20s going to student gigs.
Yeah, it's horrible. When they were born after PlayStation. I don't feel like you heard what I just said. They're born after PlayStation.
Well, like now, students, there must be nearly students at university. There's probably a clever little spotty math student who was born in the 21st century at university, isn't there? They thought that sometimes happens.
Well, yeah, I mean, like,
just coming up, will it, to the next...
Born into the year 2000?
Yeah.
That university?
Well, technically, that's not the 21st century, but I'm going to... let it go.
How long till Jason gets it?
He's on his way. He's texted me. Let's just see what he said. The Apple Watch comes into its own after 2 years of ownership. Thank you. Hi, pal. It's Jason. Got my times mixed up. I know. We know what you've been doing, Jason. But I'm on my way. See you shortly. So it's all right. So we'll.
I love the Edinburgh Festival because sometimes you feel really special, and sometimes you feel like you're definitely not Jason Manford.
But I was going to put Jason on first. You're the big attraction. You've sold out all your gigs here. So I don't know. For some reason, I don't know why. So you've been doing this Love Island, which I haven't seen. I tried to watch some clips of it today.
Great.
But there was nothing with you in it. It was all just...
I'm just a voiceover.
It was just people kissing each other and then saying, I'm sorry, I kissed that person. Is that what it basically is?
Doesn't do it for you. Not enough fur involved.
It didn't. I would like to do see you commenting on pornography. I think that was just... I'd like you to come onto YouPorn, which I've chanced across occasionally, and just explain what's going on in the stories of that as well.
Yeah, do like a real breakdown.
Yeah.
The factual inaccuracies. That plumber would get his money up front. There would be some sort of deposit system. They're related. That's horrible. Oh no, wait, they're from Fife. Doesn't matter.
How did you end up doing the Love Island? It's not Celebrity Love Island. That was the... It's a weird show because it was on like...
It was on 10 years previously.
Yeah.
And it didn't go that well.
Yeah.
So then they brought it back, which seems to be the way films and television are made nowadays.
Yeah.
Either something is incredible and doesn't need to be touched or shouldn't be touched again, and they remake it.
Yeah.
It's one of those boring ones. There's some that's time something interesting, but I just got a folk, do you want to be on this show? And I said, no. And then they said, how much? And I went, okay. But no, it was really near Edinburgh. It was during the summer. So it's when you should be previewing for Edinburgh. I used to live with a comedian called Phil Wang.
Oh, yes.
And someone more excited that I lived with Phil Wang than I'm here.
I think they were just shocked you said Wang. I think it's a bit rude for my audience. that kind of language.
Phil Wang in a flat. It was fun. And he just sort of said to me, well, that's, you go to Edinburgh to get jobs like that. And because it's a voiceover, if it had gone really badly, I could have just said it wasn't me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't, you know, generally speaking, a voiceover doesn't, I mean, it's happened with Come Dine With Me. That he's just temporarily forgotten his name.
Dave Lamb.
Dave Lamb, my very good friend Dave Lamb, who's it's a long way through the festival, and my brain is genuinely not working. Dave Lamb became like a massive star. So it's a similar trajectory
to this.
Well, at
the start, in series one, a lot of people were tweeting, wow, David Tennant must have a big tax bill. Has David Tennant got divorced recently? Why is he doing this? So everyone thought I was David Tennant.
Yeah.
And then doing W1A, everyone's like, oh, well done, Ian. No, it's not me. It's too critically acclaimed for me to be involved. So, yeah, but it was good. It's a good show, I think. Yeah. I was a bit worried about it. It's tastefully done. I think people make... It is. You can go fuck yourselves. Oh, just because I'm not Jason Manford. I think it is. Do you know what I mean? People sort of focus on how... raunchy it is, and I suppose it is reality, so it's quite, but it's not really.
No.
It's very sort of sitcom-y, carry on. You don't see anything happen. No. I think even you would struggle. Like Game of Thrones or something's got a lot more.
That's true. That is
B's
true.
And T's.
Yes.
Bums and tits, that was.
Yeah, okay.
I only clarified.
I thought you said P's and T's, so I thought it was penises and tits. There's a lot more penises and tits.
Mind your P's and T's.
But it's amazing that. So that's last year when you were in Edinburgh. If you were here last year, were you selling well as well?
Yeah, I mean,
room. You're sort of a big. You've done well in, especially in Scotland, haven't you?
I'm from Edinburgh, so yeah, you get that helps.
Yeah, but like you had sold out all your tickets before the run began, which is the sort of dream, which doesn't really happen to many people.
Yeah, I mean you still have to pay for it. Everything. So I've still got flyers that are in a flat that I've paid for who don't know when my show's on.
Yeah. Well, I met you like right near the beginning of the festival, and we were having a drink with some of the flyers, and you were being very nice to them. And I said to them, I don't know why he's being so nice. He's sold every ticket. I don't know. This proves he's a nice guy because he's being nice to you now. And then you said, I have got some extra shows. So.
Yeah, I do.
But you seem very Craig Ferguson is a very down to earth man who's incredibly.
But like
successful.
I said, Edinburgh Festival, that's what the thing is. You can feel great for like a bit, and then I know I joked about it earlier on, but then you do just do a gig, you just die in your hole, and you're like, oh yeah, I'm piece of shit. It's the worst. You died in Livingston.
Died in Collins, come in. You
what
died in Livingston.
What the fuck is that's going on at this gig? You'll do half an hour after Colin Manford. That's his Jason's brother. Yeah. What happened in Livingston? Oh, my God. Are you from there? No.
No, Colin travels around just to... He hears someone's going to die and then comes and sits in the front row. That's why he's here today. He's back today.
That gig was the most insane gig of my year.
Yeah.
I've done this gig in Livingston, and because it's near Edinburgh, people... Well, either one knew... I get a lot of people that know my mum. But then they act like they've just come, like everyone else has really rudely shown up to this meeting. So I had people sort of going, oh, how's your mum? I'm at a gig, a theatre. How's your mum? I'm like, we'll get onto that in a minute.
Yeah.
But they'd all seen my material. So I started doing a joke and a woman put her hand up. She went, oh yeah, we started thinking about it. So nothing happened. And then, people like Colin just started, sort of a Q&A kicked off.
Yeah.
I think I handled it all right, Colin. Nope,
thumbs down from Colin. Colin comes to every... Colin's quite famous for coming to sit in front row of people gigs and not smiling at any point. He's come to so many of my shows and I don't think I've ever seen him laugh once. I do a joke about him, he's still just... Fury. He just comes to be furious. He maybe brought 700 furious friends with him to your gig.
You do get that middle-aged man thing where it's like they're almost... They're impressed that they've not enjoyed it.
Yeah.
See that, Susan? Didn't smile once. See that? Smashed it. Let's go back next year. Love that. Parking's expensive. I hated it. I ruined your evening. Well, it's happy 40th anniversary.
So your show's called, are you gonna tour the show? It's called UOK Hunt?
UOK
question
Hunt.
Mark, which is, I believe, some text speak. It's the kind of thing that happens on Facebook, isn't it?
It's something that people just put on.
Yeah.
It's the sort of thing you put if someone puts in some sort of sincere message on Facebook.
Yeah, yeah.
It's called UOK Hunt.
Yeah.
Just fuck them.
Yeah. Well, I like to see you sarcastic, which I presume you are using it sarcastic, but it is when people give that very much like, I want everyone to ask if I'm okay now putting this.
I hate it.
Yeah.
What are you doing? No one cares. You worry about people on social media sometimes.
Yeah.
But you might oversharing thing.
Yeah, it can be difficult. I think, you know, especially in Edinburgh. I think last time I was in Edinburgh, people kept on saying to me, I'm a bit worried. Because I blog about everything and, you know, and I like to be honest about how Edinburgh was going in the blog, that I think people then, because it wasn't going very well, people thought I was having a breakdown. I was just scared about
you
the money.
You were also having a bit of a breakdown.
I was having a breakdown. Well, I was a bit depressed because I was losing £45,000. But apart from that,
fuck me, you should have put on a Kayleigh.
I tell you, Bubble Man, unless that bubble mixture is expensive, he's making a lot.
He's making
a lot of money. I bought that stuff. It's only like 50p a tube, isn't it?
He probably just makes. He just puts free liquid in a bath.
He probably does.
Imagine the image of him making that the morning of. Just Bubble Man, and does he still use the inflatable like paddling pool?
Yeah.
Just him. Think in the George Square Theatre at 12 in the afternoon, stood in a paddling pool of fairy liquid and water, trying to do your art form, and a six-year-old's going to fucking ruin it.
I think he was great. Do go and see him. He's amazing.
He is really good.
Some of it feels like actual magic.
Yeah.
I think. Because when he fills them with smoke and then they start wobbling, it looks like there's a solid thing flying in the air.
And he manages to put like rings of Saturn.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like we might have not sold any tickets to our show, but
Bubble Man's
going to become like a cult hit.
He's good. I'll have him on next week. That would be good on an audio podcast, wouldn't it? Maybe. I should say, I'll tell you people here, because I think there's the best chance that you'll come. We're doing an extra one of these next week. I decided I'm having so much fun. That's at 3:40 on Friday, the 25th of August. Haven't booked any guests yet, but it might be Bubble Man and Rumpel, I think I'll go for. That's my dream lineup. So do come along if you can. We sold 36 tickets so far. may have miscalculated on that.
And Colin's coming, so that's essentially 35.
Are you coming, Colin? You'll get a front seat this time, don't worry, it'll be fine. Yeah. So, you know, if you want to be on it, just if you want to be a guest next week, Colin. You're talking enough this week.
Just being an Edinburgh man, how's the festival? Well, there's nowhere to park. Just go to the Royal Mile and judge folk. No, I don't want a flyer, mate. You're 12. You're dressed like Shakespeare. Fuck off. Your parents encourage you too much when you are young. You need to be like me. Come to the front row and ruin a young man's life. Well, how was the gig? Oh, I just went to this podcast and reminded a boy of the time he died in Livingston. Why did you do that? Just make me feel better about myself. Happy 41st anniversary.
So do you know Rebecca from CBeebies personally? Can you...
Do you want me to tell you the genuine truth?
Yeah.
She told me to say no.
She wished me happy 49th birthday on Twitter before she...
Did she?
Before she really... I mentioned her in an article and then she wished me happy birthday. She seems very nice.
She's lovely.
She knows what she's doing. She knows... So are you worrying about turning 30? Are you having a midlife crisis about an early midlife crisis? I worried a little bit about it.
Did you worry about it? I think no. I think it's my generation. We're all knackered anyway. There's nothing to do at 30. It doesn't mean anything. No one's had babies. No one can afford a house. It's absolutely fine.
Yeah.
I mean, it's terrible for... I've always thought I'd be like the young guy on telly.
Yeah.
At the Jack Whitehall. And I still am young, but I'm not like... 30 is just enough an age, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not young enough to be like, oh, what an achievement, or like, oh, he's still going. It's like, oh, yeah, you done that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm on Mock the Week. Yeah, you're 30. You're a man. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it just ruins that a bit.
Yeah.
And also, my quote from The Guardian, which is the only quote I've had from a newspaper, has 20-something in it.
Right.
So I need a new quote now.
You all need a new quote.
So that's annoying.
Conor will give you one.
Cunt. Conor.
I'll ask you an emergency question. The one that's come up, big page, I'll ask you the question, which is the sexiest TV puppet? That's just come up. So I've got to, in your opinion, which puppet, if you had to have sex with a puppet from any TV show, it doesn't have to be one you know from CBeebies,
mm-hmm.
Which puppet would you have sex with?
This, I must be the only guest you've had where this question is difficult because I've got so many in my head. You want one where you feel like you wouldn't ruin their life?
Yeah.
Someone that could take it. Not in that... No, I mean mentally. You know, if you don't... Elmo would be a wreck for days.
Yeah, like... That's why I've gone for Fenella. I'm not sick. I'm not like a pedo puppet file. I wouldn't go for a child one. Elmo's a child.
That's another problem, because they're different. You don't know what species it's... The age is tricky.
It is.
Because Big Bird... You know, young looks... that. I mean, this is the thing. She looked old. I mean, it's a real minefield. I'm going to go with Oscar the Grouch.
Okay, yeah.
I think he'd be well up for it.
I think that might be why he's so grouchy.
And then also, if you want a hack joke, I mean, you're already in the bins. So you can have, like, sex in the bins.
Yeah.
There's a line in that. I mean, it didn't work tonight. Colin's delighted. That's karma, you prick.
I'll ask you another emergency question. Jason Manford's arrived now. We can all relax. It's all going to be fun.
I've never been interviewed by someone who's looked at their watch so many times.
I'm just trying to keep track. I feel, like, confused. I've got one time on my computer that's not the same as on my watch, so I'm confused. What is the most libelous thing you can say about Prince Andrew? That's question 296. And remember, that means it has to be untrue. That's the difficult thing about this question. Because of the things you think might be libelous turn out to be...
Yeah, you've got the defence of veritas.
Yeah. So you're deliberately trying to think of something that's not true about Prince Andrew. So obviously it can't be anything to do with... I can't be bothered to put the beeps on myself, so I would just imagine I've said... Beep, 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 beep. Peter, beep, 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 beep. Prostitute, beep, beep, beep.
He's got no ongoing inquiries.
that's probably true. They kind of, you know, goes, good luck to him, the royal family, I say, eh? Old Prince Philip, 22,219 public appearances on his own.
I can't wait. That's my aim. I can't wait to be as old as him.
Yeah.
I'm so jealous.
Yeah.
Because I've got my grand... I just can't wait to be that old.
Yeah.
Where you don't care anymore. And you've got kid... Do you know what I mean? When you can be so old, you can just go to your family, say something like horrific, look at your family and go, that's now your problem. Go to the restaurant, something racist. All right, son, you deal with that.
Yeah.
I'm going to finish my Rogan Josh.
Well, Prince Philip was ill the same week as Nelson Mandela was ill. And I was doing a joke, and that was during Edinburgh, I think. I was doing a joke about this is God's chance to let us know whether racism is right or wrong. And God chose to kill Nelson Mandela. And not only that, Prince Philip's lived about another 6 years since then. So it's very much Donald Trump in heaven. It's what's been decided. It's amazing to think he's still going, isn't he? I mean, you know.
It is impressive.
Good luck to him.
Yeah, it's almost like loads of vital medical services are wasted on a man that's nearly dead.
But, you know, now I know he's played by Doctor Who. You know, he was Doctor Who when he was young, wasn't he? So, no? Okay. You don't watch the Netflix thing about the royal family?
You're right. I know it is a bit much, I know.
Right, I will ask you one more emergency question. Just the time's gone by very quickly. That's what I can't believe. Did we start on time? We didn't quite start on time, did we, Sam?
5 minutes late, I think.
Yeah. Oh, look at this. The disaster. Thank God it's...
Craig Ferguson would have a little table for all those books.
He would. He has a desk that's right in front of him.
Richard did say it to me before. He went, oh, just on the Craig Ferguson podcast. It was really fancy. He had a desk.
Not like a table from back. This isn't even my table. They just gave me this. No respect. All right, this is the emergency question that's going to do it. 436. You know what it says is already there. If you had a finger that could cure rectal cancer, but only if you pushed it hard up the anus of the cancer sufferer, would you cure anyone, everyone, or be like Jesus and just cure a few?
I mean, the admin involved in that. Yeah. You'd have to attempt everyone.
You would, yeah, I think that.
But I don't know, like, would they'd come to you, surely.
But then you I mean, could... did they come to Jesus? I suppose some of them did. But then I think the kind of people who expect to be cured of rectal cancer by someone shoving their finger up their arse.
Do you know
the
how
kind
like,
of people who will wait for you to come to them?
If they all come to your flat, though, do you know when you see someone queuing for an Edinburgh show and it looks pretty grim? Imagine that queue. Just a load of blokes outside your house.
I think they'd be excited, though. They'd be sad that they had rectal cancer, but then delighted that it was about to be cured, and also that you were going to put your finger up their arse. I think some of them would be doubly delighted.
I think it'd mainly be the cancer thing.
I think maybe we've lost the lunchtime audience with that one. Deciding that... all right, we'll do one more emergency question, then we'll bring on our other guest. It's been lots of fun meeting you. You're a very nice young man. Stay unaffected and stay being nice.
I will be that.
Good.
Thanks.
Good. Because it's good. I became a prick, and then I was taken off the TV for 20 years. I'm still waiting to get back on. So, what is the most... Why are they so scatological, these?
You could just read another one.
What is the most unusual thing you've ever used as a toilet paper substitute? I mean, is that a question to ask someone as they're about to leave?
Not when you went, oh, it's quite rude for a lunchtime audience, and then fired into that.
Yeah, I'll try and find a nice one.
I mean,
there aren't any nice ones.
The answer's a receipt from Nando's. And I had toilet paper.
Was there some extra hot sauce still on there?
Ooh. This is what I think of your pricing policies.
Do you think the Adam Sandler film The Cobbler could ever happen in real life? There you go. Have you seen the Adam Sandler film The Cobbler?
Is that the one where...
I mean, it's the one where he's a cobbler, to be fair.
But he's not in it.
He isn't in it very much.
Is that the one where he done it? Is it the one where he puts on shoes or he mends shoes and becomes the person? What?
Yeah.
How's it work?
He owns a cobbler shop. His dad was some famous actor, forget who it is now.
I mean, up to that point, that would happen.
Had a magic cobbling machine. If you cobble someone's shoes on it and then put on their shoes, you turn into that person. So as long as they have roughly the same size feet as you, you can then get up to all kinds of hijinks. By pretending to be you'd become that person.
Yeah, I don't think you're watching that Adam Sandler film, and the thing that you got him out is, well, that person's a size 6, and Adam's a size 10. I don't think that's where you lose the.
Well, that's what it has to be, don't it? So yeah, but yeah, it literally he has to check the sizes to check he can fit the shoes, and then so the hilarious thing they do is like he can become a woman by a transvestite, because there's a transvestite with the same size. Chooses him, so then he can become a transvestite man, which is hilarious. That's the hilarious bit.
But it's not him dressed up, it's just another...
No, it's just he becomes the... Yeah, it was an easy film for him to do.
He'll have got so much money for that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he gets a lot of money for all of those films.
You know what, he just needs to stay humble.
Yeah, he does. I think he has... What I like about Adam Sandler, and it's one of the things that's bad about him as well, is that he puts all his friends and stuff. He stayed very true to his friends.
Rob Schneider retweets me all the time.
Really?
And I have no idea why. He retweets, like, my Edinburgh show. I've never met him. I don't know what's happened. Honestly, Juice Bigelow, is that what he's in that? The stripper. What's he called? Male gigolo.
Oh, yeah. Juice Bigelow.
Just retweeted. I'm doing a gig in Hull.
Are you sure it's definitely him?
It's 100% him. He's
is
verified.
He doing it in a slightly offensive racial stereotype while he's doing it? Then it's definitely him.
So I've got no CBBC career, and he's going to unfollow me now.
So are you touring with the show?
February next year.
That's the same time I'm touring.
Yeah. How's it going? How's it looking?
It'll be the usual ragbag of idiots on my one. It's enough to sustain the lifestyle I've become used to, not having a desk.
Yeah. I think you should buy a table.
I might do Kickstart so I can get a desk as good as Craig Ferguson's. Look, we're going to have to let you go because we've got another guest coming.
That's
I don't know if he's turned up. We'll see if he's here. Everyone's been flashing lights at me and stuff.
Oh, God.
So that either means it's all part of a hilarious prank that Jason Manford's going to leave me sitting on stage for 25 minutes on my own.
If I have to come back on now, it'll be brutal. And if I come back on, I demand you ask me the rectal cancer one again.
I will do it again. And let me know about Rebecca. If she ever changes her mind. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Ian Sterling. Give him a grand applause. Cheers, man. Awesome. Thanks so much. And keep that applause going for my next guest, who is probably best known as Jammy from the Xbox 360 game Fable 3. It's Jason Manford, ladies and gentlemen. Is it? Is he here? No. You're kidding. Ah! That's why he's the comedy champion. Come in.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. What happened with you turning up?
Oh, sorry. I was at the Radio Times Comedy Gala. It's like a winner's meal thing that we got invited to. Pick up our prize money and a trophy and that.
Yeah. if you don't know, there was last week, and I mentioned it. There was a little bit of hubris in my introduction last week where I said I'm the soon to be anointed Radio Times comedy champion. I think I did admit that I thought I would lose.
It was long past being a competition of who was funniest, wasn't it?
It was.
It very much became who has the most fans who've got fuck all to do. That's what it became.
And it turned out on a Friday night, just after 9:30, it was your fans.
That's when my guys come alive.
I liked a lot of your fans came back, because you were tweeting the fact that some of the... It was basically a poll of the Radio Times. It was like a knockout Richard Osman style, that's where they got the idea from, tournament. And somehow I was in it. I don't really understand why I was in it at the start. And I beat Ricky Gervais in the semi-final. He'd been tweeting about it, and then I started tweeting about it, and I got way ahead, and he stopped tweeting about it so that he could pretend he didn't care. So I respected you a lot more because I got a long way ahead, and then you went, right, fuck it.
Yeah, well, it was one of them where you go, hang on a minute. I don't mind getting knocked out, but when there's an actual number saying you're 92% not funny, I thought, no. No.
So it was good fun, but I
become slightly obsessed by it though, didn't we? It was
well. I once a bit Ricky Gervais, I sort of didn't mind.
Yes.
But I would still have really loved to win. So
yeah, no.
I thought about killing myself on the evening it happened. Just
well,
to
I felt bad.
Make you feel bad.
No, I felt bad even without your death. Just because I know how much it would have meant to you.
It would have meant a lot to me, and so you to bully me and. Get your stupid police chief. Bully me by being more popular than me. But anyway, it was, I've buried the hatchet. I've invited you along. But let's just do a little... let's do it now and see. Who thinks Jason Manford's funniest? Cheer now. It's quite good.
That was all right, actually, considering it's your crowd.
I'm scared.
I was expecting nothing.
I'm scared. Who thinks I'm the best? I think
you've won that. But it sounds like my guys spend more on tickets.
Yeah.
So I'll take that because that's what I need for my five children.
It's true. Well, I wondered if you just got your five children just pressing vote because you could vote as many times. It was a stupid thing.
That's what made it not make sense. Yeah. But the only real winner was the Radio Times ad revenue. To be fair, because they were.
Though I think all the people who that goes to will be upset when they discover it was just people setting bots.
It was 12
up.
People. Yeah.
But thank you for everyone for voting me and not being as good as Jason Manford. Fans.
Wasn't it weird though that it was again 51-49?
Yeah, it was.
There's something about those numbers that really splits this country in half, whatever the subject matter.
And I think your victory will be as disastrous for the country as Brexit. Anyway, it's lovely to see you. It's been a little while since I saw you. We had a weird... I've worn the T-shirt in memory.
I can't believe I forgot mine.
But we had a weird coincidence thing that happened. Very weird, actually, where we'd been doing a couple of things where we were both in the same week. I was in your little short film that your company had made.
That's right, yes.
And then you arrived like an hour after I'd left, so I didn't meet you on the set.
Yeah, there was like, we did a short film for Sky. Ross Noble wrote a horror film, and you were in that. Yeah.
I had a little part in that. It was a lot of fun. And then two days later, we did a gig in Bristol where for Slapstick Festival.
Yeah, it was still the weirdest charity gig I've ever done. It was a charity gig for the Slapstick Comedy Festival in Bristol. And usually, you know, when you go on stage at a charity gig and you're like, we're trying to raise money for this little boy to go to America and, you know, for this illness. You know, we're trying to raise money for some cat sanctuary. Like, it's usually about saving lives. And we were just like, trying to raise money so you can watch Charlie Chaplin on a big screen. It's not a charity at all.
But we just missed each other at that. And then you tweet saying, I think Richard Herring's trying to avoid me.
Because it kept happening, yeah.
Yeah, because we'd seen each other. And then the day after that, we both happened to choose to go. At very last minute, we got tickets to go. I got tickets saying the Groundhog Day, the musical.
Walked into
the foyer of the theatre, and you were in there.
Yeah.
And what was really embarrassing about it was we were both wearing the Slapstick T-shirt we'd been given the night before.
Our free T-shirt. Charity gig.
So we'd both got up on the morning going, yeah, free T-shirt.
Well, it's, to be honest,
I remember we were both standing wearing exactly the same.
Yeah, thing. It was just nice to be given a free T-shirt, but just to have a new T-shirt that fitted for me, that wasn't tight around here.
That's quite good. I was thinking that this morning when I put it on because
it's a lot of give.
Yeah,
it's a lot of give.
It is. It's nice. So that was fun. What else have you been up to? You've been doing a lot of, because I talked to you in Edinburgh. I think you're the last guest on the last Edinburgh Fringe podcast we did about 4 years ago.
Yeah, that sounds right.
You've done Big Heads in that time since then?
I have done Big Heads, yes.
Tell me a bit about Big Heads.
Big Heads is it was a game show for ITV where people ran around with big heads. Can't all be Broadchurch, Richard.
It was sort of mixed between Spitting Image and It's a Knockout. And
yeah, we don't talk about It's a Knockout. We say Jean-Paul Frontier. We use the French version. Yeah. Oh, it's a bit like It's a Knockout, isn't it? The PR department were like, yeah, we don't talk about It's a Knockout anymore. Can you refer to a different show? But it was a real laugh. And what was really nice was they let me and a couple of pals just write the script for it and all the links, because I said, look, I can't honestly come out on this show and just go, welcome to Big Heads, this is the greatest form of entertainment that's ever been made in that. I knew people would like it because it was so silly and daft, but I think what was nice was I said, look, I'm going to write it from this angle, which is I'm going to do all the jokes I think people would write about it on Twitter but use them as the links to the show. So everything was like, welcome back to Big Heads, the show that proves somebody at ITV is having a nervous breakdown. and they just let me do it. It was great. So so I think we're doing that again in January.
And, oh, terrific.
It's good fun. Cool. Silly.
But you've been, I mean, there's so much going on. It's insane. I mean, you've got a production company, so you're making your own films.
Yeah, we're
films.
Doing a few films and some entertainment stuff. Yeah. Just trying to get stuff done where that I'm not in. That's the ambition. Just to be, I want to be the guy, I bumped into a guy who is one of the creators of Peppa Pig.
Yes.
This man is my hero. He's created this show that ends exactly the same every episode with people jumping in muddy puddles or rolling around on their arses laughing. And he's just sat in this mansion and he's got a yacht and all these things because of Peppa Pig.
Yeah.
So that's the dream, to do fuck all.
But you're still doing quite a lot of other... You run Mantha's Comedy Clubs?
Yeah, so we've got about 20 comedy clubs around the country, me and my brother Colin, and they just run out all the way through the year, so they're quite good fun.
Yeah, and it's good to have one run by comedians.
Well, that was why I did it, because it was about a time where Jonglers... Oh, shit, I've mentioned them, but I didn't mean to mention them. There's this company who are doing comedy.
I can edit it.
Yeah. There's quite a few of the companies can be a bit harsh with comics.
Yeah.
They can be, they don't pay them on time. They don't pay them at all, some of them. The people turning up and it's more about selling alcohol than it is about the show and all that. Yeah. And I just thought, well, look, I've got my job already, but I reckon we could do this with the sort of infrastructure I already had in my office. So we just did, and we set it up. And I mean, nobody's retiring off the back of the money made at a comedy club. You know, there's no money in it, but it earns enough to look after itself. And they're always in really lovely little theatres in towns that don't really have comedy. So
yeah, it's
essentially
great.
Just like loads of brilliant comics, really lovely audiences, and just bringing those brilliant people together for a great night.
But it's really important, and I think also, like, there's a big our sort of generation and your generation of comedians have sort of come through the comedy clubs and then become massive, and then the comedy clubs are
brought the ladder up.
So the comedy clubs are struggling, and it's very hard for new comedians anyway, I think, because there's so many comedians.
Yeah, well, it's also hard when you're as a member of public, because you've only got a certain amount of money, you know, and you think, well, do I want to gamble on what might be shit?
Yeah.
At a comedy club, or a guaranteed brilliant night watching somebody that I know is already funny. So hopefully, sort of try and bridge the gap between those two things, really.
Well, good. Keep going. Well done. Cheers. That's brilliant. And you're doing. When you've got an album out of you singing. Who do you think you are?
I don't know. I don't
know. What have you become?
Nobody stops you. Just stood in front of the Prague Symphony Orchestra going, really? Is this... all right, fine. Well, I did some musicals. I went into musicals for a little while. I did Sweeney Todd. With Michael Ball and Imelda Staunton in the West End, and that was amazing. I played Pirelli, if you've seen the film or seen the musical, he's the Italian barber who threatened Sweeney Todd with sort of revealing his true identity, and then it was great. I was dead by 8:30. It's the best job in show business. Just sat in my dressing room playing Football Manager for 2 hours and till the bows, and then did the producers on tour with Mel Brooks, and then I spent last year doing Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, which is still really hard to say. Even after 500 and odd performances, you're like, don't say Chitty Chitty Gang Bang. Do not say that. did that last year. So I guess it was that sort of thing. I thought, well, I may as well. And then, I keep calling it. It's called A Different Stage, the album. Yeah. And it's sort of songs from the shows and a few other bits and bobs. I wanted to call it Manford and Songs, but they wouldn't have that. That's a better title, isn't it? Or Bradley Walsh has got one. That was another one. That was another one I wanted, but they went with a much classier pun, to be fair.
Yeah, that's very exciting. And the Chitty Bang Bang seemed to be... I mean, I was following you on Twitter, from Facebook, really, for all of this stuff. But it was very physically demanding, that show.
It really was, especially for a big lad. Like, it was... I remember turning up for the first day of dance rehearsals, and they went, right, so if you remember the film, it's when Dick Van Dyke goes in to do the old bamboo. My old bamboo is in a sort of a affair. And he said, right, so basically what you do this bit with the character is you sort of wander in and you're surrounded by professional dancers and you just have to pretend you don't really know what you're doing. I was like, I've got it. I think I'll be fine. But it was like the hardest bit of the show, although that was physically demanded, the hardest bit was because you've got kids in the show. And not because they're not good at acting, it's because they're just little. Yeah. And so a lot of your lines are sort of done in a sort of crouched position, so your knees and your lower back, you know, after a couple of shows a day. And the problem is you can't use their heads to stand up, you know, like you can with your own kids. It was hard, but I really loved it. But then at the same time, of course, I loved it, and then now I can't wait to get back and doing stand-up and being by myself for a bit.
Yeah, because you're doing a work-in-progress show in Edinburgh, then touring again.
Then a bit of a work-in-progress tour. Because the hard thing about doing Edinburgh, obviously there's a lot of comics who've got 20 minutes, and then they're trying to get to the hour, you know. Yeah. And obviously, like, we're doing... like full shows.
Yeah.
You've got a full show trying to work out how to put it into an hour.
Yes.
While you're here, so it's sort of a different method. But so I'm trying to work out the stuff at the moment, and then I do a work in progress tour in small theatres, and then I do like a bigger theatre tour in January.
Yeah. Back in January again, I'm up against Manford, up against Sterling.
Yeah, we've got a chance. We'll be fine. I remember going against Russell Brand in Bristol. We were on the same night in Bristol, and I was like going. I was, you know, nowhere near as famous as Russell Brand, and I said to my promoters, "Well, we better cancel it or change it and move to a different day. There's no way we're going to be able to sell both those rooms are going to sell out." It's like, you know. And he said, "It's a very different audience. Don't worry, you'll be fine." And it genuinely was. Essentially, all like these young women went to see Russell Brand, and then all their mums came to my show.
Should tour together. So they can all just meet in the car park afterwards.
Yeah, and drive back
together. It is, but it's amazing how many, you know, I've found that I've been going out most year. Oh, blimey, my phone's going off now. I wonder who this will be. It'll be my bloody wife, won't it?
Bloody wife, she knows I'm on stage.
She knows.
Anyway, should have turned my phone off. There's like 125 comedians every autumn kind
right?
of going. Yeah, well, a couple of years ago. So you sort of think, God, why would? How is there people out there choosing? You know, you can even the most obsessive comedy fans only going to see 10 of those.
I guess most people
are going to see one or two of them. But there is a huge audience out there.
There is, and what you realise, like I've got to a point now where I realise that actually. When you first start, you think you've got to try and make everybody laugh. You know, there's 70 million people in the country or whatever. And after a while, you get to a point where you think, actually, I just need to make this amount of people laugh. I just got to give them a good show each time. And it's fine for all these people to think that's shit and that's fine.
They've
just got to give these people, you know. I think it was John Hegley said to me, because he was sort of talking about touring poetry and stuff, and I said, how do you get on, like, you know, touring poetry? And he says, I just have to make 5,000 people a year give me a fiver.
Yeah.
And that's it. And then that's my job. And I was like, oh, fair enough.
I mean, it's good. It's really interesting that the range there is of people touring. And John Hegley is really, because John Hegley's been going for decades. You know, so that's, you can do it and that level, and a lot of people wouldn't know. You should go and see John Hegley if you haven't seen him. He is amazing. Yeah. But a lot of people wouldn't know who he is, but he can still make an amazing living and keep his anonymity, which is.
Yeah.
Interesting as well, I think, isn't it? So that your show's called Muddle Class.
Muddle Class, yeah.
Yeah.
It's sort of a phrase I invented, really, with me and my brothers, because we were sort of talking about how we had quite a poor upbringing, a working class upbringing. Not full blown Angela's Ashes, but you know, it was tough. and then my kids are like quite middle class, and I'm sort of in the middle of the two. And you've got a foot in each camp, and it depends on who you're talking to, which one you pretend you are. And of course, raising kids who are posher than you is hard, because you don't. What you don't want is to raise kids who, when you were a kid, you didn't like. So it's tough, you know, between the two. And then it was a game me and my brother used to play, which was you know, you'd be having pie and chips, but you'd have a quinoa on the side. Like, it's just bringing these things together. You know, you have Prosecco, but it's in the mug that mum won at the bingo. And the best one, my favourite one, is my brother, who went to sign on. He was unemployed at the time. He went to sign on, and all he had, they didn't have the pen then. He went, oh, I think I've got a pen. And he had a fountain pen. It was just something about him, like, thank you very much. And it seems to strike a chord with people.
Yeah, but I think, the world's changing. So, I mean, it's changing in good and bad ways and so much. But, you know, it is. The world's so different. When my grandparents, who grew up in Middlesbrough and didn't have an inside toilet and all those sort of things,
course.
And that was, you know, full-on working class. And now they wouldn't recognise what working class people describe as their lives.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So it's good that, you know, things are evening out. In some ways, though, obviously, in a lot of ways they aren't. But it's interesting. Anyway, I'll ask you some emergency questions before we go.
Then, yeah, sure.
What do you watch CBeebies with your kids, though? And do you? I find I'm just getting very attached to some of the CBeebies presenters because they're the only people I see in the day.
Yeah, absolutely. I absolutely adore. I can't remember the girl's name, but she's on.
It's Rebecca from Let's Play.
There's one on Channel 5 on the milkshake one. She's my only friend sometimes.
Yeah.
And Dora, my kids like Dora. We have this weird thing with Dora where she asks you a question at home and then leaves like what feels like an eternity for you to answer. And obviously my kids often don't know the answer, so I'm like, it's four! I get really angry. But I think what happens is you start putting like adult narrative on... Yeah. Kids shows just to get through an episode, you start adding things up. You think, oh, I think there's something going on between them two. Like, you start adding like it's a soap opera. But we just did it recently. We watched The Good Dinosaur recently. Okay. I don't know if you've seen this Disney Pixar film. There's somebody at Disney who's got some obsession with killing parents, right? Because we were watching this thing and the dad dies. Spoiler alert: dad dies. First 10 minutes, he gets drowned. He gets taken away by a river and he's gone. And I'm like sobbing, like I'm crying my eyes out. And I turn, kids are not bothered.
Yeah.
Because they see the death of parents everywhere in these films. I said, are you all right? And the kids are like, yeah, fine. It's like, you're not upset because the dad's dead. They're like, well, it can start now, can't it? You know what I mean? Like, you go on an adventure now, can't you? So I love a bit of that. I love a bit of CBeebies and that.
So, what is the sexiest TV puppet in your opinion? You had to have sex with a TV puppet.
I think Miss Piggy, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, go Piggy. Yeah. Well, she's just sort of up for it, isn't she?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And she's frustrated because Kermit won't go near her.
And so, you're nice looking than a frog.
And I, yeah, well, you'd hope so. That might be the nicest thing you've ever said to me.
Thank you. How about this one? If you were in a human centipede...
Oh, yeah.
I've always wanted to ask Jason Manford this question.
Yeah, no, this is...
I'm trying to turn his fans against him, so if there's ever another vote,
they'll
go for me. But you can choose who's at either end of you. You're in the middle.
Front
which,
and back.
Yeah, who would you have in front of you and who would you have behind you?
Well, now you've asked, I think you can go in front.
That's nice.
Just, you know, I think you deserve it. behind, crikey. Somebody gentle, I would say. Maybe Reg D. Hunter looks a good lover.
Okay.
Yeah, he looks like he knows what he's doing. So go with that, I think. Okay. Maybe John Bishop. I'm living with John Bishop at the moment while I'm here.
Yeah.
And he's very caring, man.
Is he
makes you breakfast and a brew and all sorts of things. And he got the only thing he's done negatively is he got here before me and we're in like an Airbnb and he went and got in the biggest room.
Yeah, of course.
There was no like tossing a coin. He just got here first. His room's the biggest. And I was like, John, I'm in like the kids' room. He went, it's not the kids' room. I said, the light fitting's a helicopter, John. Like, it is... It's very much a kid's room. Maybe John. After our lovely week together.
That's very nice. Very nice. Well, we're nearly at the end of the show. I mean, I think we are
lovely.
At the end of the show. It's a shame, isn't it? It's gone so fast. There's still tickets to see you for
in Edinburgh. No, but on tour, yes.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
So come along.
Along to him. There's still tickets to see me tonight at... I'm sold out tomorrow.
Woo! Hello.
7 long days to go after that of diminishing audiences.
Oh, I go. I'm flying on holiday Monday morning.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, off to Spain for a week. So.
Oh man, it's a good idea not to do. You've only been up this middle week.
I just did the week actually, but every time I come, I always think it's not. I'd love to do longer. I keep forgetting, and then when I've come up and done longer, I think the fuck am I doing the whole month for?
The last week's just is you forget how tired. It's just tiring. It's just in however much you kind of look.
But you
after
get no sympathy. Like I ring my brother's like, how's everything going? I'm like a bit tired. He's like, oh yeah, must be knackering all that talking
for an hour.
Yeah, he's a plumber. He's like got his arm stuck up a shitty U-bend. Oh yeah, what a nightmare.
Well, thanks for coming in. You are,
I think, the
justifiably the comedy champion of the Radio Times website
readers. The main thing is Ricky Gervais didn't win.
It is. Ladies and gentlemen, Jason Manford!
Thank you very much.
Thank you, man. Nice one. See you later. Thank you very much for coming. Do buy tickets to see next week's show. If you want to come along, we'll get some good guests for that.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Thanks for listening. Do come and see me on tour. richardherring.com/gigs is the easiest way to find out where I'm going. And gofasterstripe.com, you can buy books and downloads. And just tell your friends about the podcast. If you can't make it to the tour show, if you don't want to buy any products, then every time you listen to an advert, you're helping us make more podcasts with a very, very tiny micro payment. So thank you very much for that. I love you all. It's lovely to meet you on tour, by the way. Hello to everyone who said hello so far. Do come say hello after the show if you enjoyed it, if you want to see me. That'd be nice. You can get a selfie. I don't care. I'm a selfie whore. All right, see you soon.